to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Sing this out. I'm not afraid to die. may be seated for a moment. I just want to take a minute and welcome you to Albertville First Baptist Church. If you're a guest today, if this is your first time in a long time, we ask that you would do a really big favor. If you'll take your worship guide and you'll fill out this little tear-off, you can put it in our offering box in the back, or you can leave it at your pew. We'll find it. It would mean so much to me as a favor, right? So that way we know you're here, we can pray for you. We're not going to show up at your house or any of those kind of things. If you want to just text that, you can text us at 352-6100. That's 256-322-6100. If you're watching online, that's the way you can let us know you're watching. It would mean a lot to us because we just want to be able to pray for you, encourage you a little bit with maybe a little gift. I can't promise, but maybe. But that's all up to you if you can send us in your information. So we're so glad you're here today. We've had baptisms. We've got a family joining the church. Our worship is going to be awesome. We had a great early service. We're going to continue in worshiping in a moment. Our church of the week is New Heights Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us, every week we pray for a local church in this area and their pastor, just that they have a good week. We're partners in the gospel, and we want to make sure to pray for those around us. And so New Heights Baptist Church and Pastor Ken Morgan. And our missionary of the week this week is Dr. Carol Spears in the United Arab Emirates. So we also pray for our mission partners, and we have several of those. You heard from some of those last week if you were here at the end of our Serve Week celebration. Again, we're so glad you're here. If it's your first time, our restrooms are right out the door. Our children's ministry is down the hall. If you need those, you're welcome to those things. Make yourselves at home, and we're thankful to have you here with us today. If you'll bow with us in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we move into the worship time, God, as we lift praise to you, God, I pray it's a sweet sound. God, I pray that our voices just lift up worship to you, God. Those who are not here today, who may be sick, who may be dealing with the virus, God, I pray that you comfort them, God, that the treatments and the things would be beneficial, would work, would help everyone get back to health. God, I pray for New Heights Baptist Church, for Pastor Ken this morning as they gather, as they worship, God. Let their day be fruitful. Let it be worshipful, God. Let your word be preached proudly and boldly, God. And for Dr. Carol, as she serves in the United Arab Emirates, God, I pray that you let her know she's being prayed for, that she's being cared for, that we send what we can, and we ultimately send our prayers to you because we know that's the most powerful thing, God. Thank you for those in this room, God, as we lift up our worship. God, thank you for this praise team, for these musicians, and for Don as he leads us so well and so faithfully every week, God. We don't want to take our worship and our time together for granted. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen.
Holy, Lord God Almighty. so worthy. And together, we just sing that last verse together. Holy, holy, holy. Sing it out.
Holy, holy, holy. Man hath fallen from thee through the blood of Christ thy Son. This soul can be redeemed. Justice, truth, and mercy join with love to crown thee, Savior of sinners. Soon
Jesus, yours is the victory.
living hope this morning. Amen. Listen to this, 1 Peter 1:3, just in that song. Listen to this passage of scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Aren't you glad for the living hope that we have? You know, we had an amazing opportunity a little over a week ago to do Serve Week. And I'll tell you, that was a monumental, impactful week. But what was great was everybody getting an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Everybody getting a chance to share about the living hope. And sometimes we want that instant gratification for that seed that we planted to be seen instantly. And that's not how God works. We don't work for fame, for fortune. We don't work for applause or anything like that. We work because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our life. We'd rather have Jesus than anything else, than above anyone else. So we're just going to sing that together, that hymn of praise, I'd rather have Jesus. Just sing that out if you know it with us.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail pierced
than to be
the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
And I love that second verse. I'd rather have Jesus in the now.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Did you sing that chorus? Then to be the king.
Then to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today.
If you'll bow with us in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time of worship today, Lord. God, I pray we never take Jesus for granted. That we never miss the fact that we can have him and he can live within our hearts. He can move within our lives. God, I'm thankful you turn graves into gardens. I'm thankful for the living hope. And as we spend time in your word today, God, I pray that you speak through your text, that you speak into our hearts, and that we listen to you. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Was that not an awesome worship set? I mean, I don't know why they ask us to do this. We should just get to do that. I don't know that you need us every time, but I'm thankful. So with Pastor Chris being out, I'm the relief preacher. He got the AT&T call to the bullpen. So if you're a first-time visiting, my name's Kel. I'm our student pastor. I've been here since the end of January, and so I've done this a few times, so we'll give it another try today. But one thing I know is when you're limited on time, as far as maybe in your preparation, normally I know a couple of weeks out or we've talked through these things. But when you're limited on time, you kind of always want to go with something you know, go with somewhere you're comfortable. And so speaking of that, does anybody in here enjoy food? Right? It's where I tend to be most comfortable. No one was shocked by that. So I was thinking and thinking about food. There's probably a joke in there too. We'll save it. But there's a few things that make a great meal, right? The company, a good friends, right? Maybe you're sitting around the table out back. Could be people you love, people that you're related to. Could be family that you love. I don't know. It could be a good date, right? It's somebody you enjoy spending the time with. It could be the food, right? It's a good steak. Maybe it's some barbecue, pasta. Maybe you're a breakfast person. The old breakfast for dinner. But one thing makes all meals better. I'm convinced of this. I've tested this in many different ways throughout my life. But anytime if you take a meal and you add this to it, it gets better. That's bread. You ever had bread? It is so good, right? When they figured that out. No, take bread, right? We hold it up to a high standard in most places. And I would dare say no one in this room has been hungry to the point of like, danger, starvation, right? We're probably all pretty okay nutritionally. But what happens when you go to a restaurant, you've been waiting an hour and a half, maybe you're at the beach or whatever, and they set that bread on the table? It's just like crumbs and butter flying everywhere. It's just like a war. And then 3 seconds in, everybody's ate one bite of their bread, and they go, "You think they'll bring us more?" Right? It's the negotiation there, like you know, Red Lobster at the Olive Garden. It's that negotiation. We don't want to finish the breadsticks too early, but you want to finish in time that they bring you more, right? There's just all of it. It just revolves around it. We do things like we cover it in garlic, we cover it in cheese, we cover it in pizza sauce. We cut it into little squares and we way overcook it and we put it on salad like it's a delicacy, right? Y'all remember those Ruby Tuesday croutons, the soft ones, right? I didn't do all this in the early service. I knew they'd have to wait a lot longer to eat. And I would have to wait a lot longer to eat. What about this? What about the greatest question in all of Cracker Barrel history? Biscuits or cornbread? Right? Right? Who are biscuits in here? Who's biscuits? I'm team biscuits because I like jelly. Who's team cornbread? Listen, I studied this. I didn't go to school for this, but I learned this over years of practice. They're going to bring you a lot of both of them. Just get them. They don't care. They're going to bring you a lot of both. Right? What about that Outback-style bread? It's called honey wheat Bushman bread. Yes, I looked that up because I wanted to know. But I think about it, and we think about it. You've eaten a sandwich. You've eaten a roll. You've got a biscuit. And at some point, you've ate some food, maybe not bread, but some food. You said, man, that's good. Right? And now that we all want a biscuit or cornbread, we're going to take that off the screen for the rest of the service. I can't see it, but I know y'all can, and I want you to pay attention. But here's the title of my message, and we're going to connect all these things together. My whole message is not on bread. Well, kind of. Manna, that's good, is the title of my message. If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus 16. We're going to look at that bread from heaven today. Manna, that's good. In Exodus 16, we find a group of people. The Israelites have been freed from bondage. They're leaving Egypt, and they're in what we call the wilderness, what they would call the wilderness. And what we see is the same thing, the same phenomenon that we run into. no matter how much we eat, bread, you name it, desserts, whatever, sure enough, we're going to get hungry again. Maybe a few minutes, maybe a few hours. I don't know, maybe you're some kind of a superhuman and it takes a few days. But before long, we get really hungry. And if you wait long enough, you get really hangry, right? You know that when you're hungry and it makes you angry, but you don't even know about it. Snickers had that commercial several years ago. You're not you when you're hungry. We recognize physical hunger usually, right? Our stomach begins to growl. And don't worry, I'm not going to preach so long your stomach growls. That's never a worry, right? We get to be in a bad mood. Our blood sugar drops. We get dizzy, whatever the different things are. On a few occasions, Pate, she's 5, and she gets hangry and doesn't know it's hangry yet. And we had that happen this week. It was Friday morning, and she had been at my mom's, and she left a toy there about this big. It didn't even do any tricks. And that toy was at my grandmother's, her grandmother's, and she really, really, really needed it. And I said, I don't have it. It's at grandmother's. She said, but I love it. Okay, but I can't go get it. She got super upset. There's tears. We discuss it. She says, but I love it. And I said, I can't help it. And then it clicks with me. And I said, why don't you go in the kitchen and get a snack? She goes and gets some mini Pop-Tarts. 5 minutes later, that toy did not matter one bit in this world. As it turns out, icing cures all. She gets hangry. She gets upset. And you'll feed her. She'll go, you know what? Maybe I was just hungry. And I was like, well, maybe. Right? We noticed it. We recognize it. We recognize physical hunger. What we miss sometimes, though, is spiritual hunger. We miss the fact that if we're not careful and we're not very protective of our walk with Christ and our time with Jesus, we will gently drift. Maybe not turn and rebel at 100 miles an hour, but we'll gently drift away from Jesus. And before long, when we used to get up and maybe eat breakfast with the Word or spend some extra time listening to worship or maybe being very committed to our prayer time on the way to work, whatever it is, before long, without realizing it, we've drifted and we're very spiritually hungry, yet we don't recognize it. We don't really recognize that our attitude has changed a little bit. We've lost our commitment or our passion to serve the church and to serve Jesus. That we find ourselves walking away from opportunities instead of walking into those opportunities to serve. And we're spiritually just hungry and we don't even see it. That's where the Israelites are in Exodus 16. They're only a few weeks out of bondage. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've been led by a pillar of fire and a cloud. And guess what? They get hungry. Look at Exodus 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Here's what it says. The entire Israelite community departed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they left the land of Egypt. The entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Instead, you brought us out into the wilderness to make this whole assembly die of hunger." So dramatic. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. The people are going to go out each day and gather enough for that day. This is the way I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, when they prepared what they had, on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the Lord's glory because he has heard your complaints about him. For who are we that you are complaining about us?" Moses continued, "The Lord will give you meat to eat this evening and all the bread you want in the morning. For he has heard the complaints that you are raising against him. Who are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." So here's where they are. They're about a little over a month out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness of Sin. Should have been a clue to maybe get close to Jesus. I don't know. But what happens is the rations, the food's running low and the hangry's running high. And they're not that far out, but they're so far out that they've gotten not only physically hungry, but they've gotten to be spiritually hungry. And they've done what we so often do in response, is they begin to complain to and about Moses and Aaron both. Did you notice what they said in verse 3? It says, the entire community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, in verse 2. In verse 3, it says, if we had only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. They said, we would have rather died around the meat pots and ate bread than for you to bring us out here to die. And I think that's such a revealing statement. I think that it's just such a strong statement. Because here's what they're saying. God, we would have rather died full and comfortable than to have left and followed you in discomfort and uncertainty. They said, God, we would have rather died full and comfortable. Remember, I said, they're not that far out of Egypt. They're not that far out. But they, all of a sudden, all they can remember is the food. And they've completely forgot the fact that a few days ago, they were slaves. They were working. They were in bondage. They were not on vacation. They were not hanging out. They were dying and working and serving for these Egyptian people. It was not a party and a vacation, yet they've so quickly drifted away to the fact where they said, I would have rather died not hungry, full of food, in bondage, than walk in freedom in the wilderness of uncertainty. Now I ask you this question. Do you recognize that? Because we tend to do the same thing. We tend to forget that at some point we were also ultimately in bondage. And through the power of Jesus, we were freed from that bondage. And if we're not careful, we'll walk right back into it. They had freedom and they had the world essentially in front of them. And they kept saying, let me go back to the bondage where I was ultimately comfortable for a moment. Don't choose momentary comfort over eternal peace. Right? If you had to do a quick evaluation of your walk, are you spiritually dying in Egypt? Is there a complaint the walk is tough? The calling isn't comfortable? Jesus calls us to live by faith, which doesn't always mean comfort. I think about the people who sat on this stage last week and met in our missions fair thing, who all three families that we saw this week or last week were going to a place of uncertainty. Maybe they knew kind of where they were going, where they were going to live, but almost every one of them said, here's a need we have that we have no idea how it'll be met. Here's a financial need, a prayer need, a physical need that we don't know about until we get into this room. And they don't know how to be met, yet they have to go, despite the uncertainty and despite the comfort of knowing, into a place that God's called them to go because they believe going and doing what God's called them to do is greater than the comfort of sitting around the bread, maybe. Are you living by faith or by comfort? I'm not saying your life will never, ever be comfortable. But I'm saying your spiritual walk with Jesus should occasionally be uncomfortable. Because it should occasionally push you, and maybe often push you to a place of doing the things that God calls you to do that don't necessarily line up with what you've always done. They complain about Moses, they complain about Aaron and Joshua, they complain about their leaders. And they do it, and God says in verses 4 and 5, and I love this line, and I believe God is holy, but God is just, God is not sarcastic, I believe that. But I love how he says, if you want bread, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. I don't think he said it that way, but that's how I read it in verse 4. He says, I will rain bread for heaven for them. But he says, I'm going to do this, and there's a reason. There's something beyond just you getting your full of your food. He says, every day you know the story, they'll go pick up enough bread for that day, and on the last day, pick up 2 days' worth of bread. He gives them this instruction, and what he's saying is, you're hungry, and I will feed you. You have a need, and I will meet that need. I will give you bread every day, twice a day at the end, or twice at the end of the week. Not sometimes, not occasionally, not when you complain, but daily, because I want you to know something. God wanted them to know something, that in the wilderness, God was good. If you say right now, spiritually, your walk, your life is a little bit in the wilderness, I want you to know something. In this moment, ultimately, God is good. He made a way for them to have life. And in this time, God showed them that he is their ultimate provider. There were no grocery stores, there's no food land, no food city, but there is ultimately bread from heaven. And this passage is a foreshadowing of the man who's to come later, right? Who is going to be so much better than manna. And when I read this chapter, if you read all the way down into verse 31, it tells us a little bit about manna. It says in verse 31 of chapter 16, the house of Israel named the substance manna. It resembled coriander seed. It was white and it tasted like wafers made with honey, right? And so I began to think, what might manna be like for us? And this is not exact. This is not the real manna. I didn't go get that. But I began to think what it might be like. And so in my mind, the way I picture manna is it's something like this, right? It's just something, it's kind of flat. It's got some nutrients value, maybe. It says it maybe tasted like a wafer, like it was made with honey. But overall, it's not something that when you see it, you're like, man, I need to pull that off the shelf. Right? But it meets a need, right? It meets a need. This isn't impressive, but it's life-giving, right? It keeps your life. Not eternal life, just life. And then hundreds of years later, a guy shows up one night, born of a virgin, greatest comparison I can come up to. If I wanted to say, if this is manna, the greatest comparison I can think of to the guy who shows up later is this. This is King's Hawaiian bread. And the people said, amen. You can get it in little rolls, you can get it in slices, but if you want it the way God intended it, you'll put it into this big loaf thing. This is it. This is the bread, I told him in the early service, this is the bread that elementary school breads want to grow up and be. If you've never had it, it's so good. You can have, y'all can have this one later. I've touched it in two services, but it's up to you. You can have it. This is Hawaiian sweet bread. It's soft. It's chewy. It tastes like Hawaii, I guess. I don't know. I've never been. But it's so good, right? I think it's so good. And if you don't, you're wrong. And so... So we have Jesus, who's the bread that makes all other breads feel bad, that they can't live up to. It's Hawaiian sweet bread, and you've got a bread that sustains your life and a bread that gives life in Jesus. As we look at this passage, as we look through Scripture, we see Jesus comes on the scene. You know this in the New Testament. If you have a Bible and want to look there, we're going to look at John chapter 6 really quick. I'm going to read a few verses. He's doing ministry. He's walking. He's living in faith. And all of a sudden, this menu in the desert comes up. To give you some context, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No doubt it was Hawaiian sweet bread. He just fed the 5,000. And right after that, we find this in John chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 22 and beyond. We've got a few verses to read, but I think it's so important to see the whole context of this moment. So yesterday, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and it says in verse 22 of John 6, the next day, the crowd had stayed on the other side of the sea, saw there had been only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. So they're chasing him down. They're looking for the guy. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform the works of God? They asked. Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in me. You believe in the one who has sent me. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you? They asked. What are you going to perform? Our ancestors, there it is. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. Just as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. This is so good here, people. Jesus gives them bread the day before. And guess what happens? They get hungry again. And it says the next day they chase Jesus down, essentially. They get in their boats and they go find Jesus. And they still have crumbs in their beards. And they're like, Jesus, that bread was so good. That meal was so good. Can you give us some more? By the way, Moses gave them manna. And it's like they're trying to catch Jesus and they're going to trick him into this giving them more bread. And we're going to kind of bribe you and make you feel like, well, he gave us manna. Can you do it 2 days in a row? And Jesus comes back and he says, listen, you don't want bread. You think you want bread. You think you want to be full. You think you want what the world offers you, but you don't want that. Jesus says, ultimately what your heart wants is life. You want everlasting life. Jesus tells them, I know the bread filled you up. I know that was good for a moment. But if you notice, you're back today looking for more bread. I want to give you something that lasts beyond one meal. I want to give you life. I want you to have eternal life. It says in verse 32, he says, Moses didn't give them the bread. Father gives you, my Father gives you the true bread, the bread of God. What I want for you, what we want for you is to experience Jesus more than maybe biscuits or rolls, right? Those are amazing things and they always leave you wanting more. Jesus is better than that. He's better than King's Hawaiian. It's not just life, it's eternal life. And here's the thing, if you've never trusted Jesus, perhaps you came in here today, you maybe been a little bit skeptical of these things, that's okay, because Jesus is comfortable with that and he can handle your questions. But I would tell you this, that Jesus wants to be what fills the holes that culture cannot fill. Jesus wants to be the thing, everything that comes to you and leaves you hungry again, Jesus says, I can take that need and meet that need. And all of the Old Testament is filled with examples of mankind, of people trying to find life in something other than Jesus, other than God. Whether it was manna, whether it was territory, whether it was power, whether it was idols, and all of our culture today is filled with examples of people trying to find life. And we try all the things. We try to accrue money and stuff and trophies and accomplishments. And guess what? The next week we go try to get more. And more. And the trophy wears off and it goes on a shelf somewhere and the money gets spent and the house begins to break down. All of it falls apart. Everything that we strive so hard for falls apart eventually, except for Jesus. Jesus is not telling you here not to have a good home, not to drive a good car, not to keep your family fed and healthy and happy. But Jesus is telling you, when you put all of our lives into the manna that the world offers, you'll always be hungry at the end of the day. That if that's where everything, if your time, money, and your resources are invested into what this world and culture offers, you'll come every day looking for more bread. You'll have more crumbs and more mess. This book shows us that when we look for life, we find it in Jesus. Solomon says, I spent my entire adult life searching the world for it, and it was only right in front of me the whole time, that it was God the whole time. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And they say, give us this bread, and he says, I am this bread. But the most telling verse to me in this whole passage is verse 36. It says, but as I've told you and you've seen me, yet you do not believe. And what Jesus is saying is you can be really close to the things of God. You can sing, you can participate, and never trust Jesus. And I don't say that to scare you or to try to trick you, but I say that because I want you to search your heart. And we look to the disciples, and there were 12 of them who walked faithfully beside Jesus, and they saw this. They saw the bread. They saw the blind. They saw him walk on water, and yet one of them still chose to betray him. You can be close to the things of God and never trust God. You can be close to the things of Jesus and never trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I don't want to say that and make it sound like it's a hard thing and you can mess it up. But I say that in that you have to become to a place where you go, I don't need the manna of the world. I need the man who came. And we truly trust Jesus when we believe in who he is. He says that you believe in me and you believe in my Father who sent me. And then we repent of our sins, which means not only do we say those were a bad idea, we say those were wrong and I'm going to do everything in my power to not commit those sins again. And I'm going to turn and walk away. Repent means to go away from your sin, not into it. Jesus says you can be close to me and still not believe. Y'all have seen the story, heard the stories. Y'all have seen the miracles and yet you do not believe. I want you to experience the bread of life over bread for life, right? As believers, we can know the man over the manna. The Israelites wanted food. They didn't want a savior. They wanted temporary, and Jesus offers eternal. And as I was looking through these passages, kind of right in the middle, maybe not exactly, but pretty close to the middle, there's a verse that I think is so good when it comes to this passage and Jesus. And it's Psalms 34, verse 8, and it says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." This book did not fall together accidentally. It is not a random collection of words. It's God's word. And thousands of years ago, God used bread from heaven to save the Israelites. And then now he uses his son from heaven to save us, to keep us from being spiritually hungry. And just like Jesus, manna came down from heaven. And just like Jesus, the manna was available to all of them. But this is very important, and we're almost done. But I don't want you to miss this. They had to go get it. The manna, it was available to all, but they had to get up and get out of their tent or get out of where they were. They had to go outside, and they had to pick the amount they needed for that day and twice as much at the end of the week, right? Jesus is there and available for all. But just like the manna, we have to go to Jesus. We have to make that decision to step out of our pew, to step out of our comfort zone, to step out of certainty and into a life that calls him to follow. That calls us to follow him. If we repent of our sins, that's what we do. Both the people in both instances said, "What is this? What is this manna and who is this man?" And so my question as we close is this. Who is this man to you? Who is Jesus? The Israelites missed the blessing of manna, and we live in a world that misses the blessing of Jesus. When was the last time you sat at your table and you opened your Bible and you said, "I'm going to taste and see that the Lord is good"? Manna was good. Jesus is better. If you'll bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close out these moments of this service, God, we've been spending time in worship. God, we've seen baptism, that old becoming new. And God, we've sat and God, I pray that we faithfully heard from your word. My words aside, God, we've heard from your text, and we saw how the Israelites missed out on the blessing you gave through the manna, God. We know how people missed out on the privilege of walking and knowing Jesus when he was on this earth. And so, God, I pray in these last moments of today's service, none of us miss the opportunity of experiencing the goodness of God. Whether it's coming to faith and trusting Jesus our first time as our Savior, God, whether it's someone in this room who says, "I didn't even realize it, but I'm spiritually hungry and I need to taste and see the Lord is good." That God, I pray we don't miss the blessing of gathering together as a faith family. And God, if there's someone in this room who needs to spend time praying, spend time talking to you in obedience, God, that they're obedient and they trust you to step out from where they are and to walk to this altar and to spend time with you. That God, it's not about the people around us, the people in other rooms or what we've got going on later. God, it's about these next few minutes and us being obedient to what your Holy Spirit leads us to do. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen. If you'll stand with us.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.